Today's date is March 1st, the first Sabbath day of the month. Spring will be here in about 20 days, but they may have changed that too. Who knows? They're messing with the calendars. It used to always be March 21st. But anyway, March is the first day. March is the first month of the Hebrew calendar. And I was actually in a study again this morning in regards to how the Lord's hand moved in mighty ways, and the latter rain falls in the first month. And some of us have found the early rain fell on the first month. I remember what happened 40 years ago this month. And so I praise God for that too. But we're on verse 27 of the book of Acts. And we'll pick it up there. And it says, this is Paul talking. Of course, he's still there in, where is he at here? Is he still in Athens here? Or Ephesus? I think he's in Athens. Macedonia, Greece, yeah, he's in that area. And Ephesus. Yeah, I'm still going down, looking. And there he is. He's in Ephesus. Okay. And talking to them like he's doing. And he continues on. You better get the next chapter, too. It's pretty intense. And Paul messes up. Peter messed up, too. So it's kind of like a lesson unto all of us on how to stand firm. Because the enemy's going to attack us, and we know he's going to attack us 10 times more in the last days. I mean, why else would we get 10 times the Holy Spirit with the latter rain in the last days to fit us for that attack? But verse 27 says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And a lot of people have an issue in that area, too, especially for some reason young Christians. Well, yeah, I guess it's the norm. You know, you get a little shy and you don't want to rebuke somebody that you know that's in sin because you feel you're not able to come up with the verses to back it up. But be prepared if you're going to have to do something like that, because some of us are tested in that way and we do have to do things like that. The first time you do it, it could be a little nerve-wracking and stuff like that, but you still have to do it. You can't hide any of the counsel of God with anybody if the Lord's given you utterance. I mean, if you look at Ezekiel, if you don't share, or Ecclesiastes even, but in Ezekiel mostly, if you don't share, their blood's on your hands. No, he's given you, it's kind of like the thing with the Matthew 18 thing where people will see someone that's in sin, and then they'll go right to the pastor and say, "Oh, you got to rebuke him. Let's do a Matthew 18. No, it's not how it works. The Lord's testing you. If you saw one of your brothers or sisters in sin, you are supposed to go to them personally because the Lord allowed you to see it. So now you are tested if you're going to shun your duty or shun some of the counsel of God with your brother or sister. Because you never know. A lot of times, it's nice to see that they go, "Oh, wow, didn't even realize I was messing up. Thank you." And they take it well. But if they don't, then you bring two or more witnesses with you. And then if they still ignore you, seeing that more than one person sees what they're doing, then you bring it to the church. You got to do your part first. Roll away your own stones. Okay. But when we look at this in regards to all the counsel of God, that Paul's talking about here. Rome lied when they said that the Bible doesn't give us all the truth we need. And I actually go into a little bit of detail about that, if you remember, back in verse 20 in the notes regarding how Paul says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you," in verse 20. But the reason Rome makes such claims is because they need to belittle the Bible. They know exposes them in every way. And they're going to go with the numbers because the overwhelming majority of the people have been hornswoggled in the Vatican Church not just the prelates, but all the people sitting in the pews, just like in the SDA churches or any of the churches for that matter. And I mention SDAs is because they had the truth at one time, and so they're going to be held doubly responsible for doing what they're doing right now. But and it's amazing, too. People in the Seventh-day Adventist Church come to us and ask us to pray for them. Isn't that something? That happens quite a bit. And I ask, why are you still in that church then, if you know? It's a waste of time to ask any of the leaders in that church to pray for you. Or anybody in the pew next to you, because you know what's going on there. Now, in some cases, the person's kind of landlocked, if you will, because their spouse, like say the husband is the SDA and he's forcing the wife to go, you know, keeping peace in the house kind of a thing. But keep praying, sister, and your husband might see what you see. But when we see the way Rome does this, so as to keep the people in the pews, and they've gotten it down to science to where the overwhelming majority of the people in the Catholic Church simply do not read Bibles. But they will put a Bible out, and they'll get one of those door-stopping type Bibles. You know, those Bibles you can, I mean, they'll stop, you, like a doorstop. I mean, they're huge. And they're covered with all this amazing artwork and stuff like that, and it's like a family heirloom. And you open it, it's like it's brand new. Why? Because no one ever opens it. No one reads it. They might go in there and look at all the amazing paintings, and that's about it. I remember when I was a kid, the way you read, if you wanted to go into the Bible, you would open it up, close your eyes, open it up, and then take your finger and then just drop it, like your index finger, right on one of the pages, and then look at the verse, open your eyes and look at the verse and read that, and that's your Bible reading for the day. Regardless if it's in or out of context, that's Catholicism. And they've got it to where they all do that, where they won't study the Bible the way they should. And the only reason, and I praise God that he kept sending those Baptists around that always had a Bible in hand telling me that I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. That got me to not just open the Bible and stick my finger on a verse. I wanted to read it and figure out how to shut them up because I was convinced I was in the true church because that's what all the leaders said. And so that's why they do what they do. They hold counsel back from all of us. But Paul said he didn't do that, and so Rome lied. I mean, truth is, every prophecy ever uttered in the Scripture that speaks of Antichrist have been confirmed by the historic record to have been fulfilled by all the popes of Rome. You know, like John said, there's many Antichrists 2,000 years ago. Well, they're all over. You know, every pope is an Antichrist. And in our day, every president. I mean, look what Trump's doing, pushing that Vatican religion. And they're singing hymns and having prayers on camera in the Vatican, in the White House. They're pushing the narrative. We know what's going to happen. The religious laws are coming. Project 2025, they're pushing that. If you notice some of the things that he's doing, and he kept saying that it had, he never read Project 2025. But yet, look at all the things he's done in the first month. A lot of that stuff is mentioned in Project 2025. But they're never going to mention page 589. That's why I made that video. It was like 1 minute. That's all I had to do was say, hey, you know, everybody's saying good and bad things about Project 2025. But why isn't anybody mentioning page 589, where it talks about Sunday laws, Sabbath laws, you know? They're not going to say Sunday laws right off because that'll give us way too much fodder for our canons. So, going on, I'm going to share some of these quotes from the Vatican itself in regards to how they attacked the Bible, and they made it look like, I mean, I just put a quote on the site, on the blog the other day, as a matter of fact. I'm going to read that one first. Let me get that up. Excuse me. Okay. Oh, man. Oh, and praise God that we had a pretty good night last night, the wife and I, so with sleeping. And so thank you for the recipes regarding the tea. Thank you. Because didn't have a coughing fit sleeping. So let me get this quote here. And hopefully I'll be, I still have some of that tea right next to me in case something happens. So let me just see. Okay, here it is. And this is a quote that the most recent Pope stated. Let me get the link. And the headline actually says, Pope Francis, rigid people are sick. And what he's saying is, let me get down to the actual quote. Here it is. This is the very first sentence in the article. I'll just put it in the room. In Telegram here. It says, Pope Francis again returned to the theme of rigidity today, saying, those who unbendingly follow the law of God are sick. I kid you not, that's what he said. And in, let's see, wait, I gotta push it up. So, okay, and in need of the Lord's help. All right? They're pushing the narrative. We know the Sunday laws are going to be enforced in America first. And so now he has to get the ecumenical charge to go global. Now, granted, he said this a little while ago, not too long ago, because, I mean, he's, as everybody knows, he's in the hospital. But he said this back in 2016. And, yeah. And I had to put it up because of the fact that we know what we're looking at. As a matter of fact, I should put that quote. Here's me. Let me just, I'm going to email it to myself. And I'll put it on the religious laws page tomorrow or something. Let me just get the new email here. Okay, it's on its way. All right, so, but I'm going to read a couple of quotes from the Vatican here. All right, this first one says, this is actually, well, here, let me put them in the room, because some of these things are, their sources are in Italian or Latin, and I speak neither. So, Latin's a dead language, but they keep using it because the Vatican's all about death. The black clothing and all that, and you got to be dead to be a saint and all this. And that's not what the Bible says. You got to be alive to be a saint. But it says here, and this quote is from the Institute of Theology and whatever, this El Santique or whatever, I don't know how you say that. Volume 1, page 56. I can't read the rest of it because the Telegram's got that little heart with a number 5 over it, so it covers the rest of the source on me. I don't know why Telegram does that. That thing is useless. You click it and it just brings you back to places. I don't like that. But it says, yes, Cardinal Hosius does not hesitate blasphemously, better would it be for the interests of the church had no scripture ever existed, and Valencia, it would be better had it not been written. Seriously, that's a Vatican prelate, a cardinal. The cardinal's first in line to become a pope. So it's not. And so when they say stuff like this for points, what I mean is, the more you show dedication onto Satan, but in a very stealthy manner, and the more you show hatred of God's law and his word publicly like this, you show someone who can be used by the enemy of souls to lead the Catholic Church. Hence the reason you got a Jesuit Pope in there now, right? You ever read the Jesuit Oath? Yeah, it's blood-curdling. But this guy's a Pope? The holiest man on earth, they claim? Yeah, unholiest, according to the Bible. But this is true when you look at this, in regards to this quote, where they would prefer no scripture was ever written. This is true in their own minds, because had the Bible never been written, all the people on earth would think these pagan priests were godly. Now, this next one is from another cardinal. I'm not going to read all of them, because I got way too many. They're all on my Words of Abuse page, too. And it says, the belief in the Bible as the sole source of faith is unhistorical, illogical, fatal to the virtue of faith, and destructive of unity. That's the key right there, destructive of unity. That's the main reason he said it, but he had to put all that other folderol in front of it. so as to make it look like that. It's not the only thing that bugs him about the Word. He doesn't like the idea that when someone reads the Bible, they leave that church. There's no more unity. And it's actually in the Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 13, under the title Protestantism, Section 3A, dash, and then Sola Scriptura, which means the Bible and the Bible only. I got a page on the website called Sola Scriptura, and I explain why it's such a problem for them. It's an old page. It's one of the first pages I ever put on the site. And then it has this Latin stuff after it. And then it's imprimatur by John Cardinal Farley, the Archbishop of New York at the time. Imprimatur means in Latin to let it be written. It's like scripture to them now. Once it's imprimatur, forget about it. It's cardinal law. It's gospel truth. You know, so when the people of God, or even the people, sadly, in the Catholic Church look at the Bible as a source of faith, they discover who the man of sin is, and if they are truly trusting that Bible over the men in the church, they'll get out. And that's very destructive to Rome's ecumenical unification of all churches, especially since Vatican II, because that's when they started with the ecumenical charge, because then, you know, we're well into the end times when you get into the 1960s, right? Anybody born within that time, or even in the, you know, early to mid-50s, you're guaranteed, if you don't get sick as a dog and die before Christ comes back, you're guaranteed to see the second coming. Satan knows it. He doesn't know the day or the hour, but he certainly knows the season. And by the way, to say the Bible is fatal to the virtue of faith is a bold-faced lie that even a babe in Christ can attest to. I mean, this is how desperate Rome is. They got to use these graphic terms for the people they know aren't reading the Bibles to make it that much easier to prevent them from ever reading the Bible. I mean, just as any politician knows this, if the trust is dangerous to their political agenda, any kind of trust in truth or scripture or even somebody that's on the other side of the aisle, lies must be the format they will use to bolster their career. I mean, is it any wonder the most traveled pope in history was declared the patron saint of politicians in the year 2000 when the Vatican canonized John Paul II? That's right, he's the patron saint of politicians, of all things. And I'm certain he's going to be used in the coming days to enforce Sunday laws to do this, to do that statement, that infamous statement that he made in Dies Domini in 1995, where he said Christians will naturally strive to ensure that civil legislation respects their duty to keep Sunday holy. It's amazing. Here, I'm going to give you something here from Fox's Book of Martyrs. For some reason, I didn't put the page number, but it's from Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it says, wait, I'm going to get rid of this little heart thing here. I'm going to keep clicking it until it just disappears. I don't know. It just puts little hugs and stuff on certain things. I don't know why. I don't get that part, but. All right, so it says, their refusal to surrender the scriptures was an offense that the papacy could not tolerate. You know, the people that were tortured and killed by the Vatican for 1,260 years, 500 million killed. It says the papacy was determined to exterminate the heretics from the face of the earth. You know, they also called Paul a heretic. You know, the Jews, you know. The same demon running the apostate Jews that runs all the apostate churches today. Same demons. And it says the heretics' greatest offense was that they refused to worship God according to the will of the Pope. For this crime, the heretics suffered every humiliation, insult, and torture that man could invent. And then the so-called Reverend Dr. Cahill declared, and this is, okay, what happened there? Hold on, something weird just happened. You got to get a new GPU, I think. He said this the Roman Catholic Tabak, December 17, 1853, on page 804. He said he would rather the Catholic should read the worst books of immorality than the Protestant Bible, that forgery of God's word, that slander of Christ. That's how much they hate this Bible. Now, they can't act like this anymore. I mean, they were closing in. And the end times had already began, 1853. So 1844 is when the 2300-year prophecy of Daniel was over. And so, you know, they're in 1853, so the devil's pushing and pushing and pushing, you know, trying to push the narrative, see who's going to work for him. You know, he's doing his demographic research back then, just like he does today. And he is, of course, this man, Dr. Cahill, Reverend, so-called, he is, of course, speaking of the King James Bible, because not only it had all the verses intact that the Douay Rheims and then in our day the NIV took out, it had the preface of the King James, where it actually declared that the popes of Rome are evil. And for those of you who want the preface, let me get the link for you here. I'll put it in. Okay, come on, E-Sword. You've done it before. For some reason, it's not doing it. I'm hitting control and clicking. Okay, it's got to be the GPU. Some kind of weird things are going on here. All right. But, yeah, it's not showing up here. So, but a few more quotes, and then I'll give up on this because this is, you know, kind of rough to read. All right, The Question Box. That's an infamous Roman Catholic book, pamphlet. Page 66. It says, the Bible does not pretend to be a formulary of belief, as in a creed or catechism. Because we all know why he's got to say creed or catechism, because Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 is expose them. Because the catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, or those that used to be Catholics, your CCD meetings on Saturdays as little kids, remember that? That's Roman Catholic creed theology. That's catechism. It says, there is nowhere in the New Testament a clear, methodical statement of the teachings of Christ. Thanks, Brother Anthony. He put there's the link in the room. For those of you on WTPR, it's, RuinOfGod.org, obviously. And then KJVPreface.htm, all one word. KJVPreface.htm. That's one of the old pages on the site, too. Very old. All right, and rather than putting all these in here, I'm just going to read a couple and then just go on. Another one from Question Box, the next page, page 67, says, the very nature of the Bible ought to prove to any thinking man that the impossibility of it being the one safe method to find out what the Savior taught. And, of course, they misspell Savior by taking the U out. Because if you take the U out of the word Savior, it means like a Catholic priest, save you from hell, right? Even though he's not a Savior. Or a lifeguard, or somebody pushes you out of the way of a speeding bus, or jumps in front of a bullet for you. That's considered a savior with the S-A-V-I-O-R. But if you put S-A-V-I-O-U-R, he's our savior. That one spelling is only defined by Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, they're going to misspell it in the Vatican on purpose. And, as a matter of fact, I had a contact, the guy that owns or created eSword when I first got it. I contacted him and said, can you please fix the spellings of the word Savior? He didn't even realize it. He got, like, obviously a database text file for the King James that misspelled the word Savior throughout. So he fixed it. Praise God for that. And let's see. This next one here. Question box, page 70. Again, it has ever been practically impossible for men generally to find out Christ from the Bible only. And then now you look at the Protestants, they're saying the same thing. Now they're saying, oh, a bunch of men wrote the Bible. That's Catholic theology. That's Catholic mindset. They've all said the same thing. Oh, thanks for putting it in there. Oh, no. Oh, those are just little thumbs up or something. I just see it jumping up. I don't know what's going on over there on Telegram. And then Catholic Facts. Yeah, there's a headline, right? Catholic Facts, page 50, says, the Bible was not intended to be a textbook of Christian religion. Yet my Bible says, in 2 Timothy 3:15, for from the infancy thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to instruct thee unto salvation by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's Paul talking to Timothy. His mother and grandmother taught him the Bible as a kid. That's why he says, from your infancy. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It literally says, all scripture is inspired of God and useful for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, for instruction in justice, that the man of God may be perfect, equipped for every good work. The Bible overwhelmingly shows that they lied. And one of the most truthful statements that I've ever heard from a Roman Catholic priest was placed in print and received an imprimatur from the Archbishop of Baltimore, Roosevelt Bailey. I'll put this one in the room just in case anybody wants to use it. This is a very truthful statement. It says, the doctrines of the Catholic Church are entirely independent of Holy Scripture. They literally said the Bible doesn't record all necessary things which Jesus said. Remember, they said that. Where was that in Catholic Facts? Where was it? I'll just give a few Bible verses. Because I'm just going to quote some of the things they said and then put the Bible verse out there. So first, they said that the Bible doesn't record all necessary things which Jesus did. Well, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, Acts 1, verse 1 and 2 says, the former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Because we know what all happened when Judas hung himself and so Matthias had to take his place when they cast lots, right? So the Holy Ghost was already upon them because the promise of the Comforter was to come. Oh, and by the way, did you see my most recent blog entry? Yeah, I put that quote from Sister White in regards to why they're out there saying the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. It's because it's only the Holy Spirit. Well, here, I'll read you the quote. Let me get that. It's on my site. It's the newest blog entry I put up, and it was one of the, I mean, I did it like 10, 15 minutes. It was just very short. And the quote is, I put it in the room. And this was written back in 1897. And this isn't talking about Trinity, because we know what the Bible says about three separate persons in the Godhead. And the Trinity says there's only one God. Oh, thanks, Brother Anthony. He just put it in the room. It says, the prince, now again, this is why they're saying the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all, or it's a thought process between the Father and the Son, or it's the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. That's what that one pastor out there in Uganda started preaching and has fallen off the path. Okay? It says, the prince of the power, Sister White said this in Special Testimony, Series A, number 10, page 37, back in 1897. She said, the prince of the power of evil can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And that's why they're going after him. And they don't even realize it. They're just echoing their dying God, and they don't even realize they're worshiping Satan on this. I know it's a hard thing to hear when you say that they're worshiping Satan, but they don't know they're doing it. Anytime you commit a sin, you're worshiping Satan. You're obeying Satan. Worship or obey, same word, right? So if you obey Christ, you worship him. If you obey Satan, you worship him. And then the next one here, they said in one of the quotes that I shared earlier that they said that Scripture doesn't contain the certainty of Christ's actions and teachings. Well, Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, Luke 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theopolis, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Or they also say scriptures cannot teach us to believe in the name of Jesus. Well, John 20, verses 30 and 31, John 20, verse 30 and 31 says, "And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." They also say the scriptures cannot give instructions to salvation. Well, 2 Timothy 3:15, I read a little while ago, where it literally says, you know, the scriptures, you know, the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, it says. They also said that the commands of the Lord are not found in his word. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Oh my. Amen. And the next one that I came across is, they say proper conduct is nowhere emphasized within the Word of God. And again, I didn't read all the quotes earlier. All these quotes I have in my study notes. And they're on the Words of a Beast page. And I think it's on the Sola Scriptura page, too. But they said that proper conduct is not emphasized in the Scriptures. First Timothy, well, I'm not going to read it again, but we already read 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Because it literally says in there that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And then again in 2 Timothy verses chapter 3 verses 15 to 16 outs them when they say every good work is not found in the Bible. Well, it also says that when you study the scripture and it's the inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And, man, I could literally go on for, I'm not going to continue because there's just too many here now that I'm looking at it. There's just way, way, way too many. But with all this evidence exposing the Vatican and its lies, it has become plainly obvious that they surely choose not to tell their flock two things, two major things, because it's not a church. It's a political entity. It's all it's been. It's all ever will be. And it's about to burn. And all those that worship it and clamor after those that are in it are going to weep, just like it says. They're going to, they're going to be, especially the ones that are, you know, changing money. You know, the ones that make money with the Vatican. And boy, how many times, and it just happened again a couple of months ago, Vatican scandals with their bank. They keep getting caught laundering money. And this is a church. It's just, you know, it's not as bad. I mean, it is worse than the SDAs, but the SDAs, the worst act of fraud in American history was committed by the General Conference leaders. And they're, and it's just common knowledge. But people look the other way. But there's two reasons that the Vatican, you know, does all it can to prevent people from embracing the Bible, just like all the other churches, including the SDAs, where they're bringing in the bogus Bibles with thousands of verses missing. That way it's a lot easier to control the people sitting in the pews. Because the pastor's sick and tired of having people come up to say, "Whoa, you said something in a sermon the other day that says, you know, we can do this or we can do that or we can't do this or we can't do that." But I trust the Bible, especially in regards to what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 27, about he didn't shun us from to declare unto us all the counsel of God. So I got a King James here. You're quoting from the NIV. And my Bible says you messed up here. That's why they have the NIV and the SDA churches and all the others. If the people in the pews have the NIV, they won't be constantly having to deal with people coming out of those pews, coming up to the pastor and says, "Oh, wait a second, you messed up here. You're going to have to recant next week." He ain't going to do that. They'll just kick you out of the church. That's, you know, the majority of the people that used to be SDA in the Seventh-day Remnant movement, all of them, more or less the same thing. They tried to help their pastor, and because of their desire to help them see the error of their ways, they were kicked out of the church, and now they're SDR. Well, that's just, you know, what Jesus said was going to happen in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, or Revelation 12, 17, with the 11th hour remnant of her seed. But anyway, here's the two reasons that the Vatican doesn't want them to have those Bibles. Number one, the Bible is the sole authority in religious matters. And number two, the Vatican has numerous documents declaring their hatred for the Word of God. And so they can't let them have that Bible. And that's why, when I was in that office that day talking to Monsignor McGinnity, the man that married my wife and I, baptized a lot, or, you know, dunked a lot of our children. Well, he didn't dunk, but he sprinkled water on a lot of our children. Because, you know, the first four kids we had, we didn't know, or the first three, we didn't know about, you know, infant baptism and all that. Because we're reading a Catholic Bible, and Acts chapter 8, verse 37 is missing. So we didn't know that it was wrong to baptize babies. And when I approached them that day, which is the first section of my book, The Second Window, I says, why do we teach this, 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 and that, when the Bible says this, 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 and that? That's why he said to me, for the same reason, all these quotes I just shared with you, that they've been saying for centuries, he said, stop reading the Bible. It's confusing you. That was the last time I was ever in that church. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. And remember, the Scripture does give us all the counsel of God. We have everything we need to make it through these coming days. So stay in the Word and stay on your knees. Be back in a minute.